Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures, and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
Well,
hey.
You're here. Yes, indeedy.
Yeah.
Live and in person, so that's our big thing. So, yes, today we are doing a show based on our tween times month theme called Fire and Water, Hot and Cold Magic. So we will dive into that, no pun intended with the water, and go ahead and kind of give a little quick rundown of where things have gone for us. And since our last show, it's been a whirlwind. We've basically been putting together different situations in our lives. I know for me, it was trying to get all my technological things that I've been having happen, finalized, taken care of, and you know, trying to find a more balanced and grounded center, which actually has happened, which I'm grateful for. And I got to do Grandparent Day at my granddaughter's school on last Friday, which was so neat. And we wound up, you know, each grade, they go in at different times for their lunches. So, of course, that made it actually easy because, you know, through each grade, then all the grandparents would, you know, get brought in as well, and so were the kids. And so we wound up getting there, and my daughter had bought Wendy's, because Wendy's burgers and fries and things, because my granddaughter had asked for that. And so, you know, we all sat at this table and we were kind of enjoying ourselves. And she is such a sweet child that she invited one of her classmates to sit at our table because she didn't have anyone coming. And so it was kind of a treat. I mean, she was a little the young girl was kind of quiet and, you know, everybody else was kind of chatting and all. And so I tried to, you know, communicate with her and, you know, ask her different things and, you know, have her engage. And she basically had a cafeteria lunch. And Fridays, is, you know, or that day is usually pizza day. So she had a piece of pizza. And so, you know, it's kind of communicating with her and that. And she felt more at ease. And then my daughter started to communicate. And, of course, Aurora was kind of sitting there next to her, kind of giving her kind of a, like, it's okay. They're not going to, you know, bite you and chew you up and throw you out kind of a thing. So that was a nice experience. And then it's just, as I say, kind of been getting, you know, ready for the show and then finding, you know, different things that are going on. What has happened with you, Deb?
Oh, you know, my week has been a little bit of a whirlwind. I came back from the Northwoods and have been, like, busy ever since, because this has been, I would say, kind of like a condensed week. I was doing readings and selling some of my books at the Pagan Pride Festival this past weekend, and that went very well. There were lots of neat people, and I had fun vending with my sister, Sharon, and and doing readings. And then after taking a little time off, I'm going to, along with my sister Sharon, be working at Altered State of Mind tomorrow. She's doing Reiki, I'm doing readings, and we're both doing soul retrievals and past life journeying. And so that'll be nice. You know, I like, you know, I love all my clients. Doing it on the phone is fine, but it's really nice seeing people in person too. Yeah, and then I am going later this week with my husband and my sister Sharon. We're going to go journey over to Cleveland and visit my my daughter Laura. And so, you know, that's why I'm trying to square away some personal things, my commitments and stuff like that. So I'm excited because I've been out there before, but and Sharon's been out there before too, as well as John. But she hasn't been to like there's a couple of really neat places there that I wanted to stop at. So there's Buckland's Witchcraft Museum. And, you know, it's just a little place, but it's interesting and it's fun to go to. And so, Sharon really wanted to get over to there. So, we're going to make sure we hit that place. And then there's some really incredible graveyards in Cleveland. Yeah, there's, President Garfield's grave, it friggin' looks like a castle. It's huge and it's pretty, it's pretty amazing looking. There's all the stained glass windows and stuff like that. And then there's at this other cemetery, there's this memorial chapel, which is at Lakeview Cemetery. And it has like an incredible, this is crazy, a Tiffany glass window in it. And it's just beautiful. And then there is also one other thing I really like to see over there is there's this very mysterious angel of death statue that often appears to be crying. And so we're going to make sure we hike it over to the graveyards and make the rounds there. I'm looking forward to that. That should be fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Well, you know, that's always a nice, you know, thing, especially, you know, those kind of things are coming on to obviously our season of, you know, the witchy time, so to speak. So
very much the season of the witch.
You know, and we're like, oh, yeah. So I think I can see that. Well, you'll have a lot to say on the show, well, after our rebroadcast, but the following week.
Yeah.
But you know, it we'll have a lot to share. So I think we're going to just dive right into our subject, and obviously, you know, we'll start with the elements, fire and water, and I'll give a little bit of information and, you know, some thoughts, and then I will kind of turn it over to you, Deb, and we'll kind of see where we wind up running around. But so when we're talking about fire, and even, you know, if you were to say fire magic, but fire, it's considered a hot, dry element with basically a masculine energy. And so, you know, looking at some of the things that have, you know, that side of the equation, I was checking out, and of course, you know, we have the wand is I don't necessarily want to call it weapon, but the item that we use for fire. We do candles, and, you know, we do burning of items and papers, so it kind of has that transformational process. I did find out, interesting enough, is that they had kind of a little section about the Archangel Michael and then Angel Aral, A-R-A-L, and of course we have salamanders are our elementals. And then they kind of went ahead and gave a couple of things like the ruler is Seraph and the king is Dinge, And, you know, of course, we kind of look at that as going, oh, this is interesting. So they're giving a little bit more information of individual energies that we can associate with or work with. Now, the interesting thing with fire is that there is something called pyrokinesis. And now, this has never been really conclusively proven, but it's the psychic ability of altering, allowing a person to create or control fire. So, I mean, obviously we know how that works in computer graphics and all of that. It kind of gets really exciting. But I'm not quite sure. I mean, I think we have enough ability to connect with the fire element, but I don't know how much we would be able to influence individually something like that from a psychic level. But I never discount anything. I just kind of go, okay, that's pretty cool. In alchemy, it is an upward pointing triangle, which, you know, is the representation of fire. And then when you get to things like the pentagram, the fire element is the lower right point of the pentacle in when you're invoking the actual pentacle, the invoking of the pentacle in ritual. And of course, then we go to tarot. We have fire is the wands or the rods, as it's called. And it has, I'm trying to think, there was something I wanted to say here about the fire in terms of that. It basically is, they kind of want to call it the symbol of Renaissance. So, you know, because it changes, it causes a new, you know, something goes from being destroyed or changed to something new. So you have like a mixture of a helpful energy and a volatile energy, which we know fire does that. And some of the deities, I mean, obviously winter solstice is considered the energy of that time frame. But fire deities, I kind of went through a few of them, but we have Bridget, we have Helios, and we have Hephaestus or Vulcan. And then, of course, understand Hephaestus and Vulcan are Greek-Roman. And then we have Hestia or Vesta, Greek-Roman, and Apollo. And then I kind of got excited and I went, well, Pele is, you know, the Hawaiian goddess of fire. And I'm going to try and say this is Adramnus. Adramnus is the Sicilian god of fire, basically because associated with Mount Etna. I thought that was, I have a little Sicilian background, so I went, oh, that's so cool. I'll put that in. And, you know, if you kind of go over to, I'm trying to think here, when we go to water, I'm going to kind of quickly go there because I want to turn this over to you. We have basically what is called cold magic or cold energy with wet, and it's considered feminine. And there's more of a rhythmic ebb and flow. So you have this kind of going in and out, back and forth, and that it's basically working with emotion and intuition. It is a downward facing pointing triangle in the aspect of alchemy, and it tends to be winter. Oh, thing enough is that fire is considered in the Platonic alchemy, Greek, it was always considered east, but I noticed that in modern witchcraft, it is south, and water obviously classically be both our agreement is that it's in the west. So it was kind of interesting when I found that out. I was kind of looking at it going, I mean, I understand sometimes there's shifts, but that kind of took me off base a bit. And its / weapon or representation is a cup, a chalice. And of course, Archangel Gabriel and the angel, and I'm going to, this is going to be one of those, Talahad. And the king is Nyxia. Elementals are the undines. And it is the upper right point of the pentagram when you're invoking it in the invoking ritual. Mm-hmm. And sea deities are very much a part of it, and river deities and wells and springs. And those were very interesting because I kind of came up with, you get in and you kind of see the different ones. For instance, Danu or Dana is the Celtic mm-hmm. river goddess. And, of course, there was a
–
and the other one is Lir, L-I-R is for the sea, or Mananan Mok Lir, the two versions of it for Celtic. Obviously, mm-hmm. Poseidon slash Neptune. And then you have the Titans, which is Oceanus, which is the water, the ocean around the earth, meaning outside of the earth, because these are elemental, mm-hmm. far beyond our earth. And then Thetis is the, again, another Titan, but she is the goddess of fresh water. And then I'm going to try and say this is Ka'a Loa. Is the ocean god in the Hawaiian. So I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to kind of turn this to you and let you kind of get some, you know, ramblings on where you see the two elements, and then, you know, whatever else comes.
Sure. Yeah, that is some great information there. It's I like knowing, like, which deities and other beings are connected to the directions or the elements, and that whole thing of hot and cold is so interwoven. So I'm just kind of like backing up a little and just looking at, like, the elements are truly like the building blocks of magic, and so. By learning, you know, about them more deeply and being in touch with getting an understanding of the elements, we can we really obtain a view of the world around us and an understanding of life and the universe. And so we can do this by just exploring the nature of the elements and working to find balance through them. So the elements are all around us in magical as well as in the mundane world. And all spells mm-hmm. are made up of at least one of the elements, which partner with us. And we ask for its blessing and aid in drawing in on their power. So I know that many spells and rituals seek to balance out the elements. Like, you know, whenever we pull up a magic circle, we're seeking out the balance, asking them to, you know, to be the guardians of our circle. And, you know, we usually in ritual will have like a physical representation of the elements. We might have a pentacle for earth, an athame for air, a candle for fire, and a cup of water for the water element. But today, so we're focusing on kind of like the yin and yang of the elements, which is fire and water. And also how we can kind of correlate them and see fire as hot magic and water as cold magic. So I'm just going to start out with some thoughts on fire and heat. So like the element of fire is very connected to inspiration, passion, and creativity. And so when we use the element of fire, we're usually building intensity. We're heating things up, and so we are creating intensity and kind of building feeding it. And so I see the energy of fire as moving in the direction of like dioso, or, you know, the clockwise way in pulling up a circle and ritual. And building the energy. And where I equate the element of water as being like kind of a widdershins, or, you know, the opening up and counterclockwise, you know, cleansing away the circle. And so so fire is really the element of relationships. and is ever changing. You know, you kind of touched on that, where fire is, it's really more of a process. It's not so much a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So fire is like the process of transformation, which changes one thing into another. And so as a fire burns, you know, it connects the material being burned with the air as it, mm-hmm. you know, becomes transformed into smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we think about all of the people that we know and are in relationship with, you know, whether they're like lovers, family, friends, or coworkers, none of these are usually static. This element of fire really is, relationships are very much about that. Some of these relationships might need work. Some might need a bit of nurturing. Some of the relationships are building in intensity, while some are dying back in dwindling, but they're rarely stagnant. So I would invite anyone that wants to delve more into connecting with heat and fire, is that we might want to ask ourselves, is there anything in our lives that we want to transform? And that would be, you know, a great question to meditate on as we scry into a candle flame or a fire. Kind of my beginning thoughts about fire. You know, and then with water, you know, the element of water, you know, is very connected, I believe, to cleansing, healing, you know, and as you said, like intuition and emotions. And when we use the element of water, we're usually clearing away what has been. You know, I'm seeing fire as building up in intensity and water is clearing away. And so we're usually sending away those things that no longer work for us and, you know, perhaps have become obstacles. So we are clearing the way to foster healing, and the expressions of emotions is vital, and that's all part of water. And the clearing and washing away of what is at the surface level is really vital also, because we're able then to like fully, I think if we clear away what's on the surface, and lots of times our emotions will wash over us. And if we're in balance, we allow them to come and to, you know, wash over us and then flow and flow away. And so we don't stay in a static emotion usually when we're in balance. And so when we're able to kind of get beyond what's on the surface, though, that's when we're able to more fully connect, I think, with the water element by connecting with our inner voice or our intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the coolness of the water element, we're usually like cooling things down, clearing the way and reaching down into the, like the depths of ourselves with water. Mm-hmm. So and just getting a look into like the deeper aspects of ourselves. And so water also represents our blood and our life force. And as we connect with the coolness of water, we might want to ask ourselves, is there anything in our lives that we need to let go of? You know, is there anything we need to cleanse or heal? And we might want to meditate on that question as we, you know, scry into the surface of water, whether it's just a cup of water, or, you know, if we are able to get next to a body of water, a pond or a lake or anything out in nature,
mm-hmm.
and just scry upon the surface and let those answers come.
Mm-hmm.
so that's, you know, just some of my beginning thoughts on like on fire and heat and water and coolness. I know they're the like the yin and yang of the elements.
that's really very good. I see that, you know, we still have a couple of minutes before we have to break for commercial. So if you have any other thoughts, I mean, obviously you brought some really good insights as well as information that, you know, have come up. So it's really, I see it as the energy pattern. So do you have anything quickly that you would like to share with regards to that before we take our break?
I think that as practitioners, most of us know, like, what our birth signs are. And I think that a great way to connect, you know, to if you're just starting your journey to connect the elements, if you are, you know, we're talking about fire and water, but I would say any element, the one that is connected with your birth sign, I would always kind of recommend connecting more deeply with that one initially, because then it makes it so much easier to connect to all of the elements.
It's true.
So I'm a fire sign, and I know you are too.
Yeah. Yes, I was going to say that. We're both fire signs, so connecting with that is, you know, that's why I kind of went with Mount Etna and, you know, the fire and Pele, because, to me, that has been, you know, where I've had the most intense revelations. But I think, based on what I'm looking at, is that we should probably do a break away to our commercial, and then we'll come back and I'll hear more about things from your side. I know we have herbs and stones and all kinds of stuff that we can delve into in the second half. So, Nagashiva, break us away.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Right. Well, Deb, I'm turning it back to you so you can give us more information, and your insights are awesome. So go for it.
Well, we'll see. I'm going into the second part. What I was, you know, wanting to expand on a little is just the different ways to connect with the elements of heat or of fire and water. And and with fire, you know, always practice fire safety. If you're going to, you know, burn candles and you're going to leave, I usually will either time the candles so that they're not burning when I'm gone, or I will put them in a bathtub with a little water around them and stuff like that. So it just do whatever you can to always remain safe with that. But, so what I like the best is for connecting with fire is to, I end up out in nature a lot. And so I usually make a campfire. And so not everybody can do that, but we can do things like making, if we have a cauldron, or we can just bring, a few candles to our quiet place and light a few candles and use that as our little campfire or whatever. But I think it's really, to connect with that element, just to be able to get into a quiet place where you won't be disturbed for a while, and just to observe the flickering flames, and as they are building and reaching intensity, just to feel the warmth, of their gentle heat, and, just be able to, to gaze upon them and listen to any flickering, any crackling sounds. I know when a few years ago, we were doing a seance at my house, and the seance went okay. We had for part of the time we were using a spirit board, and for the rest of the time I was channeling, and I had a nephew who passed, and he was very close with a lot of the ritual and different people that I did things with. His name is Michael, and I actually thought that he was going to come through because there was a couple of people there that knew him and stuff, and he didn't, and so I felt a little sad. I thought, anyway, after the seance, when everybody left, I had the candles, a number of candles in the center of the table, and I was by myself, suddenly I heard like a bunch of crackling from the candle flames. And I was just like, I just felt this presence, and I was just like, Michael, and those candles started crackling every time I asked a few questions, and they crackled in response every time. And so just like working with fire, lots of times that is a great way to work with, that fire and heat element. Candles, you can do so many different things with them. But that was a very unexpected surprise when Michael came through using the candles.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Another way to connect with the fire element could be to find a stick out in nature and create a wand out of it, because wands correspond to the element of fire. Mm-hmm. You might... some people say you can cut it from a tree if you ask the tree for permission. Otherwise, I think if you're able to go out in the forest at all, you'll probably find a number of wonderful, easily be made into wands that have already been given up by the trees. And so you could take that, dress it up however, wherever your creativity leads you. Sometimes I've got a number of wands where I have glued crystals to the ends of them and painted, different little runes or sigils on the wands. And then you could maybe, wear a bit of red to correspond with the element of fire. And you could face south and ask the element of fire to bless and empower the wand. Another thing you could do is if you do have a campfire, or if you have a good nice size cauldron, you can make offerings to the fire element with items like different herbs or incense, or maybe even carefully, a little Vesta powder. Have you ever used Vesta powder?
No, I haven't.
Well, I know some stores, metaphysical stores, sell it. I'm not sure like what the proper name of it is, but it's kind of an explosive if you throw it in the fire.
Okay.
And so something that I always like to do when we would do, especially for Samhain, we would do a ritual where we would have everyone kind of write down what they were wanting to let go of. And then within the little piece of paper that people had written, we'd put some herbs, and then we would put, you know, a little pinch of Vesta powder. And then, you know, as we circled the cauldron, we would toss in the paper, and there'd be a little poof, you know, a little spark and stuff like that, just kind of to accent our release of the thing that we were seeking to be rid of. And so
nice.
So that was just a really nice way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And fire is about building intensity, building energy. We might want to chant, dance, or circle gyoso clockwise around the fire, building energy along with the heat and fire. And then afterwards, you always thank the fire for its warmth and inspiration. So with water and with the coolness or the cold, a few ways to connect with the coolness of the element of water might be to go and find a quiet space, like I was saying before, beside a body of water. If you live near one, like, you know, a lake or river or pond or an ocean, and if you're not, you can bring a bowl of water with you into your meditative place and find a way to focus on the water. You know, you might want to touch it or you might want to drink it. Take a little sip of it and, you know, somehow connect with it physically. If you're in a place where you're able to go into the water and float, that would be great. Or even if you are able to place your feet in the water, this is a perfect way to connect with this element and to feel the cool water, splashing around your feet. And if you're able to, if you're by, the ocean or a lake that has waves, you can watch how the water moves and maybe stand. I like listening to the sound of waves. There's something about that it's almost really hypnotic, and a great way to connect with the coolness and the element of water. You know, another way is, you know, if you don't have any of that, maybe next time there's a gentle rain, stand outside in the rain, you know, and feel it splash upon your face. Or we might just, you know, if we don't want to get wet, we might just listen to the soothing sounds of rainfall while we're in our house and let the sound wash over us, you know, fueling a meditative state.
Right.
Yeah. Or another way is you might recite a blessing into a glass of clean spring water and then drink it to carry that blessing through you. You know, I would always do that. Well, with any element, with a sense of gratitude and just, you know, of course, thanking the element of water. I like, there's always scrying too, I think is a real beloved activity to do with the water elements, you know, scrying into a bowl of water, or some people might have those black mirrors. Which serve, you know, as that reflective surface, which is so connected to the cool water element. And then journal afterwards what you experience. And one more thing we might do is also, you know, sit facing west with our divination tools and then ask that the elements of water bless and empower them Yeah.
Well, it's you know, I can see there's, you know, some really good information and thoughts, and the elements themselves actually lend, you know, this process, and, you know, mm-hmm. thinking of the way this, you know, the fact that you do have the yin and the yang, and you have the water and the fire, I think one of the things that I see, and I think you and I briefly touched on when we did our first check-in about what we were going to talk about, is I see it like a figure eight, you know, where one loop is fire and one is water, and then that crossover point is where the action takes place. I mean, you clean out, you build, you clean out, back and forth, and almost like that's the moment where that occurs in either one element or the other, but then you combine it, just like, you know, you do the yin and the yang. And it for me, that has always been the best symbol about working with either of these elements, because I feel that energy so much going, you know, that back and forth, even though living in, you know, the Pacific Ocean, you're very much aware of that, you know, flow, ebb and flow consciousness, because of, you know, you go to the ocean and the waves. There are other movements for the water, you know, in other areas, ponds and you know, streams and things like that. But, and the fire is so alive, you know, we unfortunately it gets sometimes, it runs away like it did in, again, California and other places when it gets out of control. But I did want to share a little bit, and then we can kind of talk about it, the further aspects of this in terms of that before we wrap up. But interesting enough is that the stones that you can use, I mean, there is a long list. It's longer for the herb. So I kind of have to look at the ones and go, well, what are we going to look and talk about? But, for instance, amber is one that you can use. Obviously, ruby, because it's red, but, you know, sometimes we kind of, you know, it depends on if we can afford a ruby or even
a ruby. While you're talking, I'm looking at my list to see if you have the same ones that I have or if you have different ones.
Well,
so that ruby, I don't have that one down, but that sounds so fitting, that nice red.
Yes, definitely. Well, the other red is garnet. You know, that is a more standard one. And, you know, things like red jasper and, you know, red agate and, you know, things that have that color. interesting enough is that, you know, tiger's eye, topaz, sunstone. I mean, these are all that yellowy, fiery kind of experience. Flint. Do you have any others on the fire that you want to throw in? No pun intended.
Did you say citrine?
No, I did not.
Oh, citrine. Fire agate. Hematite.
Okay.
Now tiger's eye, I think, is real interesting because I know that fire and heat, they kind of correlate with the planet Mars, which correlates with iron. And in tiger's eye, I think that it contains a good amount of iron. And then another one is that I have is obsidian.
But I have that.
Oh, you have that one. Okay. Which kind of makes sense because obsidian is made from lava, right?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, you've got, you know, and then, of course, you have Apache tear because it, too, is the obsidian, but, in you know, with white flecks of its own aspects. So you've got that. And, you know, I'm trying to think if there's anything else here, obviously. Well, interesting is red tourmaline and watermelon tourmaline.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So those are kind of ones that you you throw in there. Now, underwater kind of gets a little different, but you've got you've got the blue lace agate, and you have lapis lazuli. You have, was it lapidolite moonstone, interesting enough, and selenite.
Yeah.
And then, of course, blue tourmaline, and pearl and mother of pearl, and holy stones. That's the other one in geos because of the you know, the hole and the water and that kind of thing. What else do you have on your side?
I have amazonite, aquamarine, and then you said blue lace agate, right?
Yes.
Or did you do that? Okay.
I did.
Another one, okay, I've got amethyst and then celestite.
Yes.
I really like celestite. I don't know why, but it just feels so good in my hand. It's one of those crystals that feels, it seems very gentle, but it seems like so protective.
Yeah.
And then fluorite, labradorite, and you said moonstone and selenite. How about rose quartz?
No, I didn't do that one.
Okay. So we got most of the same ones, but.
Yeah. And herbs, I know we're getting close to, you know, a timing where we have to be, you know, conscious of it. But really quickly, my side of what I have for fire would be allspice and deer's tongue, dragon's blood. Yes, I know they like that one. And hyssop, nutmeg, and St. John's wort, sassafras. And what was the other one I wanted to say? It was interesting. Witch hazel. I thought that was fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
So do you have, what herbs do you have?
Yeah, a lot of the spicy ones like the allspice, basil, bay, cedar, cinnamon, clove, damiana, dragon's blood. And then, well, interesting enough, you know, at the end of my list is wormwood.
So ah, yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
That's and so those are good ones to know. And there are so many of them, so many herbs, because if you're looking to do an offering to the fire element, you might want to use some of those herbs to throw on the fire.
Yeah, really, totally.
Yeah.
And then really quickly, we've got water, and then we can kind of do a little wrap-up, but, you know, and it was amazingly long. But you have aloes, you have cardamom, you have catnip, chamomile, eucalyptus. I'm trying to think. Well, they had a lot of fruits and things, which I thought was interesting. Myrrh and orris, the orris root. And poppy, and I'm thinking here, thyme, and
poppies. I was thinking of the Wicked Witch of the West. Poppies.
I know. No kidding. Then willow and bluestone. Yeah, and then they're all gone. You know, that's it. Little field. What other herbs do you have?
night blooming jasmine. Lotus. Oh, another one is Dittany of Crete, which I like Dittany of Crete. It's it's an interesting herb, and it's a really, it is said that if you burn Dittany of Crete and you gaze into the smoke that it creates, you'll see, like, if you, any kind of love questions that you're looking for an answer to, that you will see the answer in the smoke.
Ooh, I like that. Yes.
Yeah.
So, any others that you want to share?
Probably, I think I got most of the same ones you did, but I also, I think spikenard is another one. Rose and tonka.
Yes, definitely. Of course, I also would add gardenia because that is my most favorite of, you know, flowers. But, yeah, I know. It's just like, anyway, getting into those favorite little corners.
I have like a quick little spell. It's just, it's a really mini spell that uses both the fire and heat and the water and cold. And so it is a melt a cold heart spell. So this uses both hot and cold magic. So you take, place a name paper inside of an ice cube tray and freeze it. And then when it's frozen, take that cube out with the name in it and, you know, place it into a pan and melt it on the stovetop. You can do it over a campfire too, but most people have a stovetop. So, you know, and as you do that, recite, I mean, you can recite whatever your intention is. You might be something like, heart of ice melt away as you fill with, you know, fill in the blank, love, kindness, et cetera, today. And so, I mean, this could be, this is said to work best when done during a waning moon. And so this might be for, it could be a love spell, but it could also be a spell for like a maybe a boss who is just not very kind, or anybody else that you want to melt their heart a little, melt that frozen heart a little.
Wow, that's definitely good. Yes, I know. One of the things that seems to, you know, you can all, and of course, there's always the other side of doing, because again, water is the ice, so you can always put somebody on ice if, you know, you're doing a protection, you know. There are different ways to add, you know, personal touches to it, but mostly, you know, it's that particular, and then you can always put something in water to dissolve it. For instance, you know, I mean, I know that putting something you write in a, in water takes a more time than burning it, but, you know, it may be a more gentle way of utilizing the water element to do that. And we are coming, especially the Northern Hemisphere, we're coming into winter where there's water and rain and, you know, all of that. Yeah. So in essence, you can even do something where you put it outside and let the element of water clear it and cleanse it, not just an, you know, an item that you have, but possibly even, you know, something you want to have, you know, melt and leave and, you know, maybe go into the earth and, you know, kind of rejuvenate itself in a better form. So that, you know, you do that. I have told clients that one of the things once you burn things and, you know, you to, you know, a lot of times to get rid of something, you know, let your ashes cool. Like, you know, you're very conscious of fire safety. But then you go and you take it and put it around plants because it's part of, you know, the nitrites help fertilize plants. So it's like repurposing that energy to grow in a better way than it was before, stuck and stagnant. So, I mean, I know those are just really like quick things we've thrown out, but, and, you know, there are other spells. I don't know. We've got probably about 4 more minutes. Do you have anything that you want to throw out other than that wonderful spell that you just gave?
Just, you know, to further strengthen that connection, you might, you know, well, with fire, you might want to create a chant or a mantra, maybe do a little drumming and dancing to raise your energy, you know, the same way that fire is building. You could do a ritual to dedicate yourself to align with the element of fire and, you know, ask that the flame of this element empower and light your way to transformation. And we could do the same thing with, you know, water. We can place a special cup or chalice, some seashells or a scrying mirror on our altar and, you know, ask the element of water to empower and deepen our connection. You know, do a ritual and dedicate ourselves and align with the element of water. And you can ask that that cool and flowing water of this element empower and clear your inner vision.
Okay, well, it looks like from my connection here to our special person that we need to sort of wrap up. So I'm going to do some of our closing things. So if number one, if you want to connect with either of us, you can connect to both Deb and I at readersandrootworkers.org and foodiepsychics.com. You can connect with Deb at, and these are all with the triple W's in front, www.bewitching.com. And for myself, you can also connect with me at milk-and-honey.com, all lowercase, and elvyra.com, that's lowercase E-L-V-Y-R-A. And as far as next week, we are going to be doing a rebroadcast of our fall equinox show, and so that would happen next week after our one for today, and then we will be back live on the 26th for our last episode, which we will put in as working with liminal space. And so at this time, do you have anything else you would like to say or otherwise get involved with communicating to our people before you call out or end?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I am looking forward to that, working with liminal space. I think that'll be a great show. And, you know, until next time, everyone, I would say witch on, witch well, and witch wisely.
Have a wonderful time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
Experts agree Prop 33 will make the housing crisis worse, reducing new affordable housing and empowering wealthy opponents to block new homes. Plus, 33 repeals laws protecting low-income tenants from huge rent increases. California needs more housing, not less. No on Prop 33. Ad paid for by No on 33, Californians for Responsible Housing, a bipartisan coalition of affordable housing advocates, taxpayers, veterans, and small businesses. Sponsored by the California Apartment Association, Ad Committee's top funder, California Apartment Association.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.